in your presence, your Holy Spirit will fall afresh on us as we worship, as we listen, as we pray and bring praise, and as we encounter the living Christ. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and quicken our minds, open our hearts, that we may receive the blessing that you have for us as your children. That we may understand your word, that we may have the strength to live it out in practice. That we may glorify you, your name, in all that we do or say. Let your word be rooted into our hearts, and may we live according to it, by the power of your Spirit. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, it's a once I've seen the church that kind of number this morning, and we are to start back. If you remember from last year, I'm sure you all do, as you look at the series of 1 Peter in your scripture, in your Bible. I don't know what the pages are on your pew Bible, but you'll find it towards the end of the New Testament. And I'm sure you will remember, of course, that we journeyed for the first two chapters, and there are another three chapters left, much shorter than the first two, actually. We're really halfway through it. I really urge you, and I really encourage you to read the letter of 1 Peter again, as we'll be journeying through it throughout this remainder of summer, and then in the autumn till about November time, as we look at the significance, the meaning of God's word to us. And if you will remember, I said a year ago when we started this series that one of the reasons for this message is that it is an encouragement to stand fast, to stand strong in the grace of God. And that's why the series is called Standing in God's Grace. But also it is a warning of the hard times that we're facing today, even in the 21st century. Warning that tries to make us aware of God's love for us in the midst of a society that tells us otherwise. What it means to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and worship Him in that way. If you remember again, I said that this letter was written to the people in Rome by Peter. Those were under persecution, were suffering very much. Some of them were thrown to lions and had difficulties in worshipping this new God, Jesus Christ, whom they now believe he was the Savior of the world. So there were very, very difficult times for them. And Peter writes to remind them that they need to stand strong together in the grace of God, because it is by his word that we are to endure the troubles, the tribulations that come our way. And the first two chapters, Peter all the time addresses the people who are indeed the arena of social life, of the world that was going on there. But now in chapter 3, he comes and he brings us some advice, almost a kind of an advice of how to deal with the arena that we have in our own families, in our own homes. And the first seven verses of chapter 3 in 1 Peter deals with marriage, the arena that is so much bombarded by the world out there. There's nothing, and there's no, you think you've seen wars in Nigeria, you've seen wars in America, you've seen wars wherever you think you've seen wars in throughout the world, that people are attacked and destroy and kill and so on. But let me tell you, there is nothing more at war and against it than the institution of marriage. The whole society, the whole world, even husband and wife are against the institution of marriage. And Peter comes to remind us what marriage is all about, and especially in those first seven verses, he talks about a marriage, a relationship in which the wife is a Christian but the husband is not, and then vice versa in verse 7. It's interesting to me as I was reading this, he spends 6 verses on ladies, on women, on wives, and then only 1 on men. But I'll come to that later on in this series. And that's the background of the whole letter. Peter writes to remind us to stand together in God's grace, both in the arena of society, but also in our families. So let me read the first 6 verses of chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over with words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Incredible verses there. And you will think this is really indeed for the ladies, women, the wives who are married to non-believers. But this really applies to any relationship that we are in, that we find it difficult, especially when we are yoked with someone else who doesn't have the same Christian values that we have. And Peter comes with some incredible advice, and I found it so enlightening, releasing, and freeing at the same time. Especially, and I hope that you will find that too, if you are in a relationship in which your kingdom values do not match your spouse's. So don't think it's just for wives who are Christian and married to men who are not Christians. It's vice versa through the principles that Peter shares with us. The world today encourages to look beautiful. If you look through all the magazines today, Woman Weekly, OK, Hello, all that stuff, the you guys up here in the north, bye. All encourages how to make ourselves more beautiful, how we can become really attractive, that other people will look at us and will show that we are really beautiful in their eyes. There is a wonderful actress that I really admire her for her beauty, but especially for her acting. She was one of the Bond girls, and she wrote these words. I think, have I not got it there? Probably I haven't. But she wrote these words, beauty. Her name is Halle Berry. Let me tell you something about beauty. Let me tell you something, being thought of as a beautiful woman has spared me nothing in life. No heartache, no trouble. Love has been difficult. Beauty is essentially meaningless, especially outward beauty, and it is always transitory. It never stays. It's for a while appreciated, then it's gone. We spend, not we, but the world as such, those who want to make themselves more beautiful, whether it's through mascara, lipstick, silk dress, or facial change, aesthetic operation, whatever they call them, nearly £1 billion every year. £1 billion. That's enough to wipe out all the hunger from Africa for 10 years. We spend that in 1 year on making ourselves more beautiful, more attractive. Now, I'm not saying that because I want to send you on a guilty trip to spend money on mascara. That's not the point. Inner beauty is more essential than outer beauty. And this is the whole crux of the message that Peter wants to bring to us. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is what we are reminded in Proverbs. This is the words, those are the words from Halle Berry, a beautiful actress and incredibly very clever and very, very good actor, may I add for that matter, is always transitory. Peter reminds us that what is for us on, as Christians on display is our inner beauty. And we are called to display that in all our relationships. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband. We love that. Men, we love that, don't we? Oh, yeah. That's what the scripture says. If any of them do not believe the words, they may be won over with words by the behavior of their wives when they sin. Now, Peter's advice has two parts, a don't and a do. Don't nag your partner, basically says. Tracts, prayers, come to church, do that, do the other, whatever it is. But let me tell you, there comes a time when nagging, when to keep on sharing the gospel with your partner, with your husband, with your wife, becomes counterproductive. Because you will either turn them against God altogether, or you make them angry, and then it will affect your relationship. Peter basically says, do not do it by yapping, by nagging. Don't go there. There might be a time when you will have to do that, but not before you actually live a life of purity and reverence before your partner, your spouse. That's what Peter's advice is. In our behavior, God's love has to be expressed and shown more than in our words. In purity and reverence. Peter's advice is really simple. Don't nag, it will not work. That's not how you're going to win people into the kingdom of Christ, by nagging them. But it's by living alongside them a life of purity and of reverence of your lives. I absolutely love that advice. So, what do you do? Win him by that quality of life. Purity speaks of the moral goodness of your life. And reverence describes your genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things who are absolutely vital in any relationship. The goodness of your life, the way you live your life, but also the way you trust God in this. You follow him. The simple power of a godly life will be 1,000 times more effective than 45 nagging words. Shall I say that again? Your life lived of purity and reverence with gentleness in your heart will be much more powerful than 10,000 word sermon, seminars, marriage and all that stuff. By the behavior of your life, you're going to win them to Christ. The husband, of course, has to make the decision for himself to trust, or the spouse, in the Lord. At an atmosphere of high pressure of nagging will never work, and it's never worked. If the husband is going to come to Christ, this is how it will happen. Through the gentleness living of your life before him or her. A godly wife who truly loves her husband is a powerful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think two words we make and we do, we cause more trouble into our relationship and family than we do by a gentle spirit. And I'll come to that in a minute. So we are called to display that beauty rather than yap it at people. Secondly, Peter says there is the quality of the inner beauty that you need to express, not just the beauty of it, not just the display of it, the aroma of it, but also the quality. of what it is. So he says your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. If you go to Eastern Europe, this is the verse, this is the reason they don't wear jewelry whatsoever, no Christians. They don't believe in jewelry. You'll never see in Eastern Europe, throughout Russia, throughout Romania, Bulgaria, Croatia, all that side, the Czech Republic, Poland, Christians born again will not wear jewelry, because that is the verse that they're based on, their outward expression of inner beauty as such. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Let me put another version to you up. This is from the contemporary English version. Don't depend on things like fancy hairdos, or gold jewelry, or expensive clothes to make you look beautiful. Be beautiful in your heart by being gentle and quiet. This kind of beauty will last, and God considers it very, very beautiful. The New Living Translation says this: don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles. They are very expensive. Expensive jewelry or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. In Romania, they go, women especially, they go and have a permanent, yeah? You know what I mean by permanent? When they go have their hair, it's called permanent. They do it in such a way that hopefully will be staying permanently in the shape and the form that they come out with it from the hairdresser. It never does, until we stand there back. And there's another thing that always bothers me in this country. Our ladies go and have a little bit of the thing just cut, just a little bit, a couple of inches, and it costs about 80 quid. We go have all our hair done as well, and it costs 12 quid or 5 quid, whatever it is. Don't we? You all will like Kevin. And it's only 2 quid, 2.50, whatever it is. The key word here is unfading. Unfading. Compares things that last with things that don't last. Do you know why we have so many beauty parlors, saloons, whatever we call them here, in Lancaster especially? Do you know how many we have in Lancaster? Have a guess. Be higher, no far. 19. Very well. Well done, Simon. 19. We've got. And a new one is opening soon. So we'll have 20. Just in case. If you look, as I said, to the magazines, to wherever you look these days, it's all about how we can make ourselves more beautiful. From hair to jewelry to clothes to everything else. Now, I don't want to stand here and sound like I'm against you wearing whatever you want to wear and I'm becoming hugely traditional and judgmental against you. No. But what I'm saying to you is that Peter and God's word says that what's more important in our lives is the inner beauty. To display that. A beauty that never ever fades, that never goes away. And that beauty comes out of a gentle and quiet spirit. Do you know why I married my wife Sandra? I know she's beautiful on the outside. But the main and wanting reason is for her gentle and quiet spirit. That's the reason I married Sandra. Her gentle and quiet state, her inner beauty. And today, and I pay tribute to her, we're 25 years married this next month. Incredible privilege has been a journey. Not a perfect marriage, but what incredible beauty. That woman, the patience that she had to put up with her nasty Romanian guy who had to learn how to behave, how to dress, how to speak, and so on. Many a times I made her cringe. She still loved me. Her inner beauty was incredible. And I pay tribute to her for that unfading inner beauty and a gentle spirit. Absolutely incredible, quiet spirit. Peter leaves a clue to his real meaning of the end of verse 6 when he says that Christian wives are the daughters of Sarah. If you do what is right and not give way to fear. The phrase give way to fear, it means really to falter, to bend down. Peter says, in the midst of your troubles and tribulations, in the midst of your relationship, your gentle and quiet spirit comes from an unwavering belief that you have in the Word of God. That's where that comes from, in His promises. It doesn't come from the outward looking, it comes from the inner strength of God's Spirit within us. What if the things don't work out? You don't have fear, you have a gentle spirit. What if my husband or wife made the bad decision? You don't panic, because inside you is the Spirit of God who reaffirms you, reassures you. What if our children get sick or they come out the way we expect them to be? You don't panic, because there is a gentle strength in your soul that says, it is well with my soul. Beauty is a matter of the heart first and foremost. Outward appearance matters less than the state of your heart. And thirdly and finally, Peter says that that inner beauty needs to be expressed, needs to be shown again, not just on display, but throughout your walk with God. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husband, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now I look at that passage, it was interesting because Sarah never ever called Abraham master. Where, in other words, translating in British colloquial language of 21st century, my beloved, my dear, honey, I'm home, kind of thing. She never called him that. The only time she calls him is later on, after God has told, said to them, you're going to have a big nation and you're going to have a son and you're going to bless him and so on, and a nation will be blessed through you. Now, 24 years later, at the age of 89 and Abraham 99, when she heard that Abraham told them that they will have a son at the age of 89 again, that's what she thought. And she said, well, if the Lord said to my master, then I will believe that. I will believe that. Humanly speaking, Sarah was right. You couldn't have any more children. It was absolutely impossible. But in her doubt, Sarah still calls Abraham, my master, my beloved one. And in whatever relationship you are, whether your spouse, your husband, your wife are or not believers, showing respect and love, a gentle spirit, is the key to a peaceful relationship that Christ would like us to have. Sarah respected her husband enough to believe that God could speak to her through him. And that's the key to an incredible relationship in Christ. Submission isn't about you or your husband or your boss or anyone over you. Submission is about you and your relationship to God. And that's where and what inner beauty is all about. There comes also our external beauty in all our relationships. I don't know if you watch, some of you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you watch the new series of Blind Date with Paul O'Grady, I just throw my eyes from time to time on it. I think Paul O'Grady is so funny. But that program is more than just funny. I think it's sad at times when you look at it. And one thing that I notice about it is that, you know, is that comes that screen. So you have three boys or three girls on that side, and you have the boy or the girl on this side who will have to ask some questions at the beginning. Contestant number one, number two, and number three. Now, think about it. Why do they do that, actually? And they want to find out, personally, I think, what their inner beauty is all about before the outward beauty is revealed to them. And I watched the other night, I think, when this girl, when she came there and she met a guy, she actually made the wrong choice. She didn't like at all his outward beauty whatsoever. But then as they went on and they went on this holiday, she started to like him more and more. And in the end, they went separate ways. And I remember the guy saying, "I am who I am and I'm not going to change on what I am inside. You don't like the outside, that's fine. But I will not change my inside. I'm still going to be gentle. I'm still not a macho. I'm still not the strong guy that you expect me to be. And I'm going to be that guy for the rest of my life." And I was watching that thing and I'm thinking, yeah, good on you, mate. Good on you. But this world, and the reason I'm using that illustration, is that it's looking very much for the outward beauty. We as Christians, we are called to display God's inner beauty that comes from a gentle spirit, a quiet spirit, that is rooted and grounded in God's love for each one of us. And this is the context in which Peter writes to the people in Minor Asia at the time. Women were coming to Christ. Their husbands weren't. They were still worshipping different gods and different pagans, and vice versa. And he tells them, don't try and knock them and bring them to the kingdom by 10,000 points sermon, but live the life before them. Live the life, and God will reward that. I want to close with this verse. Was Christ beautiful on the appearance? Isaiah says, if you look outward to Christ, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing is in his appearance that we should ever desire him. Nothing at all. Yet Christ's inner beauty was what led him to the cross. That's what attracted us to him, is that inner beauty. We haven't seen Christ physically, but it's the inner strength of a quiet spirit that went to the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They don't know what they do. And this is God's word to you and to me, to us all, for today. I hope that you will align your life in such a way that your inner beauty comes forward more than the outer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the advice that we receive from it. Thank you that you have been gentle with us. Through your spirit, you have molded and shaped us and called us into your family to display the aroma of your splendor, of your inner beauty. Lord, forgive us when we fail to do so, when we struggle to do so. Help us more and more to behold your beauty and to learn how to display it to others. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in here, in this room, in this fellowship, who are struggling in their relationships, who have been praying for years for their spouses, for their relatives, for their children, that they may come to you. Lord, I pray that you will continue to strengthen this folk and give them the power, the ability, not only to live a beautiful life before their families, children and relatives, but also to display a quiet and reassuring spirit in all of their relationships. Lord, may our inner beauty that comes from the cross be shown in all our walks of life, in our speech, in our behavior, at work, in our homes, in our families. Lord, help us display that aroma of that inner strength that you've given us through your Spirit. In your name we ask, in the name of Jesus.